Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
So, Bill Owens, Syria is on everybody's minds. I know you've thought about this. Is there something that we ought to be cognizant of that we may not be?
Well, you know, Alan, from when I look at this, given our experiences, particularly in Afghanistan, experiences we had in Vietnam, experiences we had in Libya, it seems to me that if we're going to take an interventional approach, first of all, it needs to be a joint activity with NATO. And secondarily, I think it has to be very, very limited, potentially supplying weapons to the rebels. There's great risk with that. We don't know where these groups will wind up if they are, in fact, successful in regime change in Syria. We don't know whether or not they will be our friends at the end of the day. And clearly that's something we have to evaluate and be very, very careful before we become engaged.
So I heard the BBC and Cameron talking about why we had to do this, basically, because if we didn't help, then the really bad guys, who are the outsiders here, would be the only ones who could be effective if we didn't help. What do you make of that argument?
Well, it's one of the factors that you have to weigh in this process. The question is, will that in fact turn out to be accurate? And only hindsight will tell us that. So there is clear risk here, and people need to know going in what those risks are. The worst thing we can do is take an action without understanding the underlying risks. If the country decides that they're willing to take those risks, then it's okay to proceed. But if the country has not reached that stage, and I'm not sure that the public necessarily has, then I have a lot of concern about that.
So it always starts the same way, right? I mean, the first thing you do is you say, okay, they passed a line. Then you say, okay, we're just going to give them stuff. Then there's a no-fly zone. Then there's boots on the ground. I mean, it seems inevitable that once you get in, you're in.
Well, we succeeded, actually, in Libya in not doing that, by managing the no-fly zone appropriately, getting the cooperation of our allies. And that's the only path that I can support. I will not support boots on the ground in Syria.
Do you think that this is a Democratic and Republican issue at all?
No, I don't, actually. I think that there are people who strongly support intervention on both sides of this equation. I'm sure if you were sitting in on the conversations of the Obama administration, there are people in that administration who are strongly supporting intervention. I think that this is a function of, I want to say, philosophy on the part of people who have substantial education in this arena, and they are going to differ. I'm just telling you where I've come out on this. I don't see it as a strongly partisan issue.
Let's talk about the IRS and whether people are paying taxes or not. You know, IRS has its own problems right now, but now we learn that Google and some of the other major corporations are tax avoiders, but as everybody's pointed out, it ain't against the law. They're just doing what most Americans do, trying to minimize their tax bills, which leads a lot of people, Carl Levin and others, to say, hey, got to change the law so that everybody pays their fair share. What do you make of that?
Well, my view is we need to have tax reform. We need to put ourselves in a position where companies want to bring their offshore profits back into the United States for reinvestment, and we need to change the tax code to focus on that. You know, clearly the tax code has been manipulated over the years by a wide variety of industries. It is not unique to one or the other. They have gotten provisions in the tax code which sometimes benefit them specifically, but oftentimes are more generic in terms of their benefit. We need to change the code, make it simpler, and put provisions in through tax policy which encourage people to bring the dollars back here and to reinvest them. And this is a really appropriate time, in my view, because of the onshoring activity that's going on. As costs increased in China, as transportation costs increase in China, as China's currency starts to come up, if you will, and float a bit, not enough yet in my view, but starting to come in the right direction, then we want to be able to take advantage of that and to bring as much manufacturing back into the United States as we can.
So the fix, it seems to me, becomes very difficult because there are all those K Street guys coming down and to get into everybody's offices and saying, you know, we don't want to hurt our own companies and the rest, so they should pay no taxes. But doesn't that stop people from wanting to pay their own taxes?
Absolutely. It's a completely, in my view, ludicrous position for someone to take who uses the benefits of our defense, of Homeland Security, of our roads. I mean, everybody has to be in the game paying their fair share. Now, that fair share term, of course, is one of perspective. Everybody thinks they're paying their fair share, regardless of how small that share might be.
Mm.
That's one of the great conversations. But let me tell you that when people come in, and they do, into my office to talk about this, one of the things I say to them is, at what rate do your tax breaks, your credits and deductions become irrelevant to you from a business perspective? Because if you drive the rate down low enough, the need for credits and deductions becomes very marginal. And that's going to have to be part of this discussion that we have as we move into tax reform.
Okay, let's spend just a few minutes on the IRS troubles. You know, people were outraged, obviously, that they were picking targets. I wonder if things are calming down or if there are investigations going forward or what?
Well, there's clearly investigations continuing to go on. Now, I don't know if you followed it last week, but there was a disclosure by the ranking member on the House Oversight Committee. He had a transcript of an interview with a person who identified himself as a conservative Republican in Cincinnati, IRS staffer, who said it was he and another person who instigated this process. Now, Mr. Issa decided at that point that he didn't want to fully disclose that transcript. Clearly,
That's the chair of the committee?
That's the chair of the committee.
Right.
I said from the very beginning, this is a problem if the initial allegations are true. So you have two levels. You have the IRS level, and then you have the political level. Clearly, if anybody up the chain was aware of this and didn't take action to stop it, that's a huge problem. If, in fact, local agents were doing something, it's a big problem as well, but much more easily stopped. And I think that people have to always remember that we've had this issue with J. Edgar Hoover, with Richard Nixon.
Mm.
This is not a new issue. It's just raising its ugly head yet again.
You are absolutely right about that, and it's always great to talk to Bill Owens. And Bill, when we come back the next time, I want to talk to you about, you know, NSA and things like that.
Sounds good, Alan.